The Insurance Coffee House is hosted by Insurance Search. Insurance Search provides executive recruitment services to insurance companies, brokers, and insurtechs in the UK and across the United States, attracting and retaining the most successful leaders to your insurance business. To find out more, visit insurance-search.com. The Insurance Coffee House, the place where you get to meet and be inspired by the most successful insurance business leaders from across the world. Hosted by Nick Hoadley, CEO of Insurance Search.
Welcome to the Insurance Coffee House. Today, I'm very happy to be joined by Vicky Caruso. Vicky is the Chief People Officer at ClearCover, an auto insurtech, car insurtech based in Chicago. Welcome to the show, Vicky.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Vicky, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Really looking forward to hearing more about the work you're doing there at ClearCover. As ever, though, as we are in the Insurance Coffee House this morning, what's your go-to coffee of choice today?
Well, ironically, I am not a coffee drinker, but as a substitute, I tend to have one Celsius a day. I limit myself because there's a lot of caffeine, but that's my go-to.
That's nice. So that gets you up and going, and that's all you need. You can keep it nice and measured, your caffeine intake for the day. Well, Vicky, really like to learn a little bit more about your background. So I know that you've had a very interesting career until the point of joining ClearCover. So before we talk about that, would you mind talking about your career and that journey and what led you joining the business?
I started my HR career about 25 years ago. I began really in the recruiting space before I expanded my responsibilities to include things like employee relations, compensation, benefits, succession planning, employee engagement. And I eventually made the shift from the staffing industry into the startup space, where I've worked for many companies here in Chicago that focus on different sectors, from weight loss to healthcare, just to IT in general. And I joined ClearCover in 2019 as the VP of People. Somebody had actually recommended that I connect with Kyle, our CEO. And when I initially met with him, I did not think I was going to be jumping up and down about insurance. And then shortly after I met with him, I came home and I said, wow, I'm actually really excited about insurance, which was surprising to my family. But when I started ClearCover, the company was at about 45 employees. We've scaled over the years. In 2022, I was promoted to the Chief People Officer. And, you know, this has just been a really exciting opportunity to grow the HR function from the company. Like I said, when I started, they were 45 people. We had an office manager that was doing many of the HR functions to the best of their ability. And since then, we've built a team focused on our benefits, recruiting, employee relations, and performance management. And at one point, we were over 580 employees. We've scaled back a little bit last year, really just to control spending, and we're still moving forward.
Fantastic story. And very interesting that you started off your career in recruiting and you're now in insurance. My career, I was in insurance, and now I'm in recruiting, although obviously recruiting in the insurance sector, so very much still part of things. But it's an interesting journey and interesting dynamic. How have you found the world of startups, scale-ups? Obviously, ClearCover, obviously being a startup when you joined and has grown amazingly. But how have you found the world between some of those other startups and an insurance startup? Have you noticed much of a difference, or is there anything either that you've noticed in that time?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest differences that I've seen with the insurtech startup space is that you are selling insurance. That is ultimately what your product is, but the technology behind it is really what's driving us to be different. And that has been a little bit different. Usually the tech startups that I've been at, you're really selling the experience, and the technology was the actual product, where this is insurance is the product, and we're changing the experience for the consumer with our using technology. Especially in the insurance space, with some of the regulatory and compliance, it dictates some changes to the way you might approach something.
So you're very much an insurance business in terms of you're providing insurance for your customers, either as a carrier or as an MGA, which can be seen as quite traditional, but it's very much the technology that really drives that differentiation. And like you say, very different to the companies where that is the product, the technology is the product that's being sold. So that's very, very interesting. In terms of, you mentioned there's been a big growth in the business since you've been there, going from 45 employees to up to 580. What's been the key driver to that? What's allowed you to grow so quickly?
I think it's a couple of things. One is, you know, once we launched in our first state, well, we launched in California, then we launched in Illinois. And once we got through those first two states, we really started launching all over the US and trying to really scale the organization as far as how do we get into more states? How do we offer ClearCover to more customers in as many places as we can? And so that really drove a lot of our growth. And then in the beginning stages, we outsourced our claims and our customer service teams. And since then, we've brought those in-house, which also accounted for a lot of our growth as well.
Very much proving the concept in those two states, making sure that it's working really well, and then being able to then really roll out at scale. And in terms of the business and looking forward and ahead now, and I know across the InsurTech world, you know, it's been a very challenging 12 months, challenging 18 months. What are the objectives? What are the goals for the business over the next year or so?
Yeah, I think our goal hasn't changed in the fact that we really want to continue to build a generational insurance company powered by leading technology and innovation, really leveraging AI to do that as well, and really standing above our competitors, right? And offering an experience to the customer that is seamless and hopefully less stressful for them if they have a situation where they actually are in an accident, and making that process very simple for them if they have a claim that they need to make. We're going to continue to launch states and offer additional product to our customers across the United States.
What would you say is the key differentiator between yourselves and some of the other auto insurance providers out there in the US?
I think a big differentiator besides our people, because I think we have some amazing people that are looking at insurance differently with some of the knowledge they had from their experiences in the past and how they can see the future. And I think our other big differentiator is our technology, right? We use AI, we use really seamless processes that allow people to get their insurance quickly, but also file claims quickly and get paid quickly when they do have a claim.
So very much from the customer perspective, so that you can very quick and easy experience in terms of purchasing, but also dealing with those claims. And I think obviously across the US, a lot of people traditionally bought their insurance through brokers, through insurance agents. Is that something, do you distribute via those brokers at all?
Yeah, our agents are some of our best partners that help our growth. And those partnerships are ones that are really exciting because they're able to see how quickly they can help support their customer, whether it's getting that first insurance policy or when they have a claim or adding another family member, they get to see the ease of using the technology. And so our agents are some of our biggest customers that drive our customers.
You know, if you have a happy broker, that's a big step of the way. And that's great to not just the end user, but the brokers and agents as well. Vicky, I know that you've managed to have real success there over the last 5 years and you've grown teams very quickly. What would you say has been one of the keys to that success? I know that you've got a remote team there. Is that something that's been critical to the growth of the business?
I think, again, it really comes back to the people. I've had the good fortune of building a really great HR team, which has really helped us to be able to handle the volume when we started to scale, whether it was on the recruiting side, payroll and benefits, performance management, learning and development, and overall employee engagement. Having the right players in place on your HR team is really what sets you up for success as you're scaling the organization. And I've been very fortunate in that respect. I've built an amazing team here and they are very committed and passionate about what we do, and they care immensely about our employees, which has helped tremendously.
I mean, that's fantastic. And for the basis of our interview today, we've previously interviewed CEOs, we've interviewed founders of insurance businesses, but of startup scale-up operations. And one of the discussion points has been, right, we're going to double in size next year, or we're going to hire 100 people. We're at 50 now, we're going to hire 100 next year. And then they very quickly move on to that next subject. And really what we've wanted to do is really take a pause at that point and go, okay, how do you do that in practice? How do you make that a success? How do you recruit great people? How do you make sure you retain those people? How do you build a great culture? So some of the areas I'd like to explore today, because that has been a huge success for you as a business. What would you say is a topic around that you'd like to discuss today that's worked particularly well for you and helped you to achieve that?
It's interesting. When I started at ClearCover, we had employees in Chicago. We had an office here. And then we had a handful of employees remotely. I feel like we had a hub in Arizona. And because of some of the things we did early on, when the pandemic hit, we were able to scale without compromising our culture, right? And scale remotely. So what set us up for success is very early on, we put together a committee of our remote employees and said, how do we ensure that you feel connected, engaged, and part of the team while still being remote? So if we have an all hands and we're in the office and you're dialing in through Zoom, how do we make sure you feel part of it? Some of the things that came out of that is, hey, everybody's socializing and having snacks and eating, and we're sitting here just watching everybody do that. So how do we change that? And we came up with something very fun, I felt like, and we sent snack boxes to employees. So during wins, they're having their snacks remotely and we're having our snacks in the office. Again, what that did for us is kind of get a gauge for if we have remote employees and if we scale remotely, how do we continue to make sure those connections happen? And so we learned a lot early on, and then we continue to learn as we scaled the organization remotely during the pandemic. And some of the key things I think are over-communicating. That means sometimes you're having a few more meetings, turning cameras on when you have meetings because you feel that personal connection. We've set up mentor programs, and we called it our summit leadership, where you're partnered with another leader in the organization if you're interested in growing your career, whether that's within your team or learning more about other teams. And they have one-on-one mentoring sessions and group mentoring sessions. We formed ERG groups and really started making sure that we're celebrating the diversity of our employees. And I think that all of those things help people feel really connected. Just to add one thing is early on, we did what everybody else did. We did some of the, let's do a virtual happy hour. And, you know, I think what we've learned as times progressed is that really, how do you build those cross-functional and leadership relationships with your colleagues? And so having these mentor programs and doing more panel discussions, we just had a panel session yesterday for celebrating Women in History Month and just received such great feedback about it. And I think that's because people get to learn a little bit more about their peers and their colleagues and their leaders and how they're trying to have an impact. So I think it's some of those small things that have a bigger impact than trying to do a virtual happy hour, really making sure you can still have fun, whether you're in person or remote. And we do that through every Friday, we celebrate wins. And I think it's really fun. We kick it off with music and everybody comes to the table and talks about some successes they had for the week. And then we call out individual successes. And I think people really look forward to that celebration at the end of the week, whether maybe your team's having a down week and you hear about another team's success, you kind of get rejuvenated for the next week. And it's really just becoming part of our culture, which I think is really great.
It sounds like it's been extremely purposeful. I know some companies have really struggled because during the pandemic, they just didn't keep a hold of things and they wanted to bring people back into the office as quickly as possible. But it sounds like you've been extremely purposeful. And the result of that is that that culture is now there and it's embedded. So it almost runs itself rather than you have to be in so prescribed with things. It sounds like it's got a real natural flow to it. And then when people join the organization, they see that and they learn that and see that's the environment, which has been fantastic. In terms of the outcome side of things, how have you found like the employee engagement? How have you found recruiting in particular, being at opening up your talent pool outside of Illinois, outside of the Chicago area? How have you found it's helped or hindered on the recruiting side of things?
Truly, I think it's really opened up a world of opportunity for us by being able to hire remotely. It's helped us diversify our workforce. When I started early on, we had very low diversity numbers, and now we've got so much better diversity numbers, and we're still improving, right? You know, I think we continue to strive to improve at all levels of the organization, but we've made tremendous stride. And I think that's because we were able to recruit people from all over the United States, and we weren't limited to a small talent pool in one geographical area. And that has helped tremendously. And I think the other piece of that is really that the internal networking. So you have great leaders, and great leaders attract other great employees and great leaders. And as we've been able to do that remotely, it's opened up a whole world of opportunities for us. Even our peers and our colleagues and their network, they might say, oh, I have somebody, but they're not based in Chicago. And that's okay now, right? Where when we were limited to Chicago, you might have a great potential employee that's a referral that you would love to hire, but oh, if we're limited to Chicago or to Illinois, that makes it hard. And this has opened that up for us. Personally, I feel like it's been a huge resource for us that has allowed us to open that up to people that we might not have been able to hire in the past.
Absolutely. I think that is so critical when it comes to growing high-performing teams, is actually it's removing those barriers to entry. And I think sometimes with remote working, it's just, again, just peeling off another barrier. I think, you know, often in terms of gender diversity, you know, having a requirement for 5 days in an office very much traditionally has meant that some people have not been able to apply for those roles, or that role's not worked for them. But I think with remote working, you know, that really opens up geographically, but also diversity of people that you can hire. And just because, you know, somebody might be the best chief underwriting officer in the market, but just because they don't travel 2 hours a day into an office and maybe they're not networking drinks in the evening, doesn't mean that they're not the best chief underwriting officer in the market. These highly, highly skilled people just opens up opportunities for. And I think it not only brings more diversity, but higher performing candidates as a whole.
Well, and I think just to add to that, I think by having that availability to be flexible, think about it. If you're commuting an hour and a half, 2 hours to the office, and then you have to do that on the way home, that takes a lot of time from your day, from your work-life balance, right? I personally go to Pilates every morning, and it's a great way for me to start my day. We have other employees, they drive their kids to school, and having the flexibility to, hey, I'm going to be able to pick my kids up or drop them off for school, I almost feel like we get more commitment out of people because they appreciate that flexibility. It's very rare that we have to worry, oh gosh, someone's picking up their kid and are they working today? It's almost like, no, we have to tell people, go ahead. It's okay to log off. That's unique.
And that's a great point. And I think sometimes that's overlooked, actually. And I know with our own team, we very much work a hybrid model. And if people have anything that they need to do in terms of childcare or anything like that, you know, we know that the guys work hard above and beyond. Do you ever have any issues or challenges around that with people finding it hard to switch off? Maybe they've got a one-bedroom apartment and where they work is also where they sleep with some of those younger folks. Has there been any issues, or is that something you're quite acutely aware of?
There's a couple things that we've done. Early on, we make sure that employees, when they start, they get a stipend to set up their workspace, whether that's a desk or monitors or chair. Let's make sure they're set up for success and they have a space available to them. Then I think Zoom has been great because you can change your background. So if you are working somewhere and it's a small place and you want to have a Zoom background in, that's okay. And we understand that people have kids, they have dogs, they have spouses that are working in their home too. I have that. And it's helping people find that right balance. For those individuals, maybe having a headset is super important to them, or being able to work from a coffee shop during a crazy period of the day. All of those things are things that we can be flexible with when we're remote. And I don't want to discount the value of in-person. We do try to get people together. It's not always easy. We had a kickoff last year. We brought leadership this year, and hopefully in the future, we'll continue to bring teams together. But I also think what's great is we found hubs of people that get together on their own too. Like, hey, we're all in California and we're in the San Francisco Bay Area. Let's do a meetup. And they do that, which people make those connections too. So I think we have to be flexible, but intentional in some ways too. So we provide a map so people can see where, hey, do I have people that are located where I'm at? And would I want to get together and grab coffee with them? And those help, I think, to make those personal connections too.
Absolutely. And I think that's so key as well for those long-term relationships as well. Vicky, brings us nicely onto the espresso round now, where the questions are short, sharp, and to the point. So now you don't have a coffee there now, but are you ready for the espresso round?
I hope so.
The espresso round.
Vicky, what one recommendation would you have for a senior leader coming in to interview for you there at Unicover?
I think the biggest recommendation I would have for a senior leader coming in is you have to be flexible and open to change, because in a startup, we're 5 years in and we still feel like a startup, right? Things are always changing. And so I think it's super critical to be able to be flexible and also be very transparent with your team and your peers. I think that those are some key things that are going to make you successful as a leader at ClearCover. Because if you are somebody that always looks at a linear path and has very rigid thoughts, like, you're going to struggle. Pivoting and being flexible is key. You know, technology advances every day these days, right? And, you know, thinking just about AI and how far we've come just thinking about the way we can leverage AI in our day-to-day is a big pivot for a lot of people. So I think if you're a senior leader, not only do you have to be flexible, but you have to be able to help your team embrace flexibility and change. And I think that's going to continue to be the case.
And I think for the right person, that is just a great opportunity. I don't see that as a downside at all. I think it's quite enriching and people can learn new skills and new areas that, you know, maybe if they were at a large traditional insurance business, you know, they'd be very much in a specialized area and very much in that lane. Whereas, you know, the opportunity maybe to mix in HR with marketing or events or whatever it might be, putting your hand forward to help out across the business, I think can be very, very enriching. But it's just got to be the right person who's open to that, which I think is great. Looking across to your colleagues and peers now, the other HR executives, other people leaders, what would you say is the number one priority